Chapter 5. The Apple One. Turn on, boot up, jack in. Machines of Loving Grace. In San Francisco and the Santa Clara Valley during the late 1960s, various cultural currents flowed together. There was the technology revolution that began with the growth of military contractors and soon included electronics firms, microchip makers, video game designers, and computer companies. There was a hacker subculture filled with wireheads, freakers, cyberpunks, hobbyists, and just plain geeks that included engineers who didn't conform to the HP mold and their kids who weren't attuned to the wavelengths of the subdivisions. There were quasi-academic groups doing studies on the effects of LSD. Participants included Doug Engelbart of the Augmentation Research Center in Palo Alto, who later helped develop the computer mouse and graphical user interfaces, and Ken Kesey, who celebrated the drug with music and light shows featuring a house band that became the Grateful Dead. There was the hippie movement, born out of the Bay Area's Beat Generation, and the rebellious political activists, born out of the free speech movement at Berkeley. Overlaid on it all were various self-fulfillment movements pursuing paths to personal enlightenment, Zen and Hinduism, meditation and yoga, primal scream and sensory deprivation, Esalen and Est. This fusion of flower power and processor power, enlightenment and technology, was embodied by Steve Jobs as he meditated in the mornings, audited physics classes at Stanford, worked nights at Atari, and dreamed of starting his own business. "There was just something going on here," he said, looking back at the time and place. "The best music came from here. The Grateful Dead, Jefferson Airplane, Joan Baez, Janis Joplin, and so did the integrated circuit, and things like the Whole Earth Catalog." Initially, the technologists and the hippies did not interface well. Many in the counterculture saw computers as ominous and Orwellian, the province of the Pentagon and the power structure. In The Myth of the Machine, the historian Lewis Mumford warned that computers were sucking away our freedom and destroying life-enhancing values. An injunction on punch cards of the period, "Do not fold, spindle, or mutilate," became an ironic phrase of the anti-war left. But by the early 1970s, a shift was underway. Computing went from being dismissed as a tool of bureaucratic control to being embraced as a symbol of individual expression and liberation, John Markoff wrote in his study of the counterculture's convergence with the computer industry. What the Dormouse Said. It was an ethos lyrically expressed in Richard Brautigan's 1967 poem, All Watched Over by Machines of Loving Grace, and the cyberdelic fusion was certified when Timothy Leary declared that personal computers had become the new LSD, and years later revised his famous mantra to proclaim, "Turn on, boot up, jack in." The musician Bono, who later became a friend of Jobs, often discussed with him why those immersed in the rock, drugs, rebel counterculture of the Bay Area ended up helping to create the personal computer industry. "The people who invented the 21st century were pot-smoking, sandal-wearing hippies from the West Coast like Steve because they saw differently," he said. "The hierarchical systems of the East Coast, England, Germany, and Japan do not encourage this different thinking. The 60s produced an anarchic mindset that is great for imagining a world not yet in existence." One person who encouraged the denizens of the counterculture to make common cause with the hackers was Stuart Brand, a puckish visionary who generated fun and ideas over many decades. Brand was a participant in one of the early 60s LSD studies in Palo Alto. He joined with his fellow subject, Ken Kesey, to produce the acid-celebrating Trips Festival, appeared in the opening scene of Tom Wolfe's The Electric Kool-Aid Acid Test, and worked with Doug Engelbart to create a seminal sound and light presentation of new technologies called the mother of all demos. Most of our generation scorn computers as the embodiment of centralized control, Brand later noted, but a tiny contingent, later called hackers, embraced computers and set about transforming them into tools of liberation. That turned out to be the true royal road to the future. Bran ran the Whole Earth Truck Store, which began as a roving truck that sold useful tools and educational materials, and in 1968, he decided to extend its reach with the Whole Earth Catalog. On its first cover was the famous picture of Earth taken from space. Its subtitle was Access to Tools. The underlying philosophy was that technology could be our friend. Bran wrote on the first page of the first edition, "A realm of intimate personal power is developing. Power of the individual to conduct his own education, find his own inspiration, shape his own environment, and share his adventure with whoever is interested. Tools that aid this process are sought and promoted by the Whole Earth Catalog." Buckminster Fuller followed with a poem that began, "I see God in the instruments and mechanisms that work reliably." Jobs became a Whole Earth fan. He was particularly taken by the final issue, which came out in 1971 when he was still in high school, and he brought it with him to college and then to the All One Farm. On the back cover of their final issue was a photograph of an early morning country road, the kind you might find yourself hitchhiking on if you were so adventurous. Beneath it were the words, "Stay hungry, stay foolish." Brand sees Jobs as one of the purest embodiments of the cultural mix that the catalog sought to celebrate. "Steve is right at the nexus of the counterculture and technology," he said. "He got the notion of tools for human use." Brand's catalog was published with the help of the Portola Institute, a foundation dedicated to the fledgling field of computer education. The foundation also helped launch the People's Computer Company, which was not a company at all, but a newsletter and organization with the motto, "Computer Power to the People." There were occasional Wednesday night potluck dinners, and two of the regulars, Gordon French and Fred Moore, decided to create a more formal club where news about personal electronics could be shared. They were energized by the arrival of the January 1975 issue of Popular Mechanics, which had on its cover the first personal computer kit, the Altair. The Altair wasn't much, just a $495 pile of parts that had to be soldered to a board that would then do little. But for hobbyists and hackers, it heralded the dawn of a new era. Bill Gates and Paul Allen read the magazine and started working on a version of BASIC, an easy-to-use programming language for the Altair. It also caught the attention of Jobs and Wozniak. And when an Altair kit arrived at the People's Computer Company, it became the centerpiece for the first meeting of the club that French and Moore had decided to launch.